And we'll look at the same portion of Scripture that we looked at last week. Last week we looked at the name of Jesus Christ and all the meanings and about his people and his work and just who Jesus Christ is through his name. And this morning we're going to look at a different aspect of the incarnation, and being that it's Christmas time, that is what Christmas is all about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and his first advent coming to this earth. And the incarnation of Jesus Christ was an act of compassion from God the Father. God the Father was showing his compassion by sending his Son Jesus Christ. And so this morning we want to look at the compassion of the incarnation. Amen. The compassion of the incarnation. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that we've already heard and listened to this morning, the Sunday school lesson and the songs that have been sung. And Lord, we've just been blessed, Father, to be able to be with your people and to be able to fellowship and sing about you. Lord, I pray that you would bless the next few moments as we look into your word. And as I preach your word, Father, you promised in your word that your word would not return void, but it would accomplish what you sent it to do. And Lord, our faith and our trust is in that. And Lord, I pray that God, by your grace and by your power, that you would attach your power to your word, Lord, and that as your word goes forth, it would do exactly what you would have for it to do, Father. And I pray that us as the church, as Christians, would find our sufficiency in your word and our sufficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would be fed and helped and strengthened here this morning. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, we'll look at verses 18 to 25, and this is, of course, the classical text on the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse number 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the dead, or being raised from sleep, wasn't raised from the dead, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." The incarnation of Jesus Christ, God becoming flesh, was an act of compassion. I'd like to ask you this morning, are you a person who exudes compassion in your life? Do you show compassion to other people in your Christian life? We are called to be people of compassion. A man named Samuel Chadwick was a Methodist minister. He was born in 1860, and I believe he died around in the 1930s. He said this about compassion. He said, "Compassion costs. It is easy enough to argue, to criticize, and condemn, but redemption is costly, and comfort draws from the deep. Brains can argue, but it takes heart to comfort." And I believe that that's a true statement there. It's a lot easier to argue with someone or to try and get back at them or not to forgive them than it is to have compassion on them. And we, as a people, did not deserve the compassion that God gave to us whenever He sent His only begotten Son into this world to save us. What does compassion mean? Compassion means sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. It also has this meaning, the original or the origin of the word has this meaning, to suffer with. To suffer with. Now, if you know the word companion, that means that you have a friend there who's with you all the time. He's willing to go with you through some things. He's right there, or she's right there by your side as you go through some things. That's a companion. Well, if you have compassion on someone, you're willing to go through that suffering with that person, and you're willing to experience the things that they are experiencing, and you're willing to suffer with that person. That is compassion. How do we relate that to the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Well, God the Father condescended down to man and became a man and decided that he would suffer with the people here, with his creation. So God became a man and shared in the human experience. He didn't shield himself from any of the negatives that we find here in life. He experienced all the things that we felt, and he died a horrific and ugly death as a man. So he shared in our suffering, and that is how God showed compassion to his people and provided salvation to the undeserving. None of us here can puff out our chest and say, yeah, I deserve salvation. There's something good in me that made God want me or made God have compassion on me. No, it wasn't like that. None of us deserved compassion. And if you and I have had that mindset that we did deserve that compassion, well, I'd encourage you to check yourself and look inside your heart and just realize that, no, we did not deserve any of that. The book of Titus tells us that Jesus Christ is the love and the kindness of God appearing to men. He says that in Titus chapter number 2. He says that Jesus Christ is actually the love and the kindness of God manifested to us. So when we see Jesus Christ, he is actually the love of God in person. He's actually the kindness of God in person. And so when Jesus Christ showed up, it's like, here's the compassion that you need and that I am giving to you as people. The incarnation of Jesus Christ was the compassion of God on display to people who were helpless and undone and could not save themselves. So what does the compassion of God in relation to the incarnation look like? How would we describe it? I want to look at three aspects of compassion in the incarnation and how you and I ought to embody those characteristics as children of God. Number one, the compassion and the divine passion of God was inconvenient. It was inconvenient. Number two, it was controversial. And then number three, it was costly. Costly compassion. The first thing is, it was an inconvenient compassion. The first aspect we learn about the birth of Jesus Christ and the incarnation of Jesus Christ is that it was an inconvenient thing. What does inconvenient mean? It means causing trouble, difficulties, or discomfort. You think about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, well, that was an inconvenience. I mean, it was an inconvenience in a lot of different ways. The first way we see the inconvenience of God in showing compassion to his people was that, well, Joseph and Mary were inconvenienced. I mean, there's Joseph and Mary, and they're engaged to be married. They haven't consummated the marriage yet. And the angel Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. Now, I don't know about you, but there's Joseph, and he finds out about this, and Mary finds out about this, and they're like, wait a second, well, we're not even married yet. That's going to be quite an inconvenience for them. Because in their day, having a child out of wedlock was an unlawful thing, and it was a very shameful thing. Now, to enlightened Americans today, that might not seem like such a big deal. Because Americans today are just kind of sleeping around with each other and they're kind of celebrating all of that, and people are having children out of wedlock and they're celebrating that. You know, there's no shame in, you know, just moving in together and just, you know, sleeping with whoever and having kids with whoever and not having any kind of commitment or anything like that. And You know, people don't even think about that today. But that's a shameful thing. Even in 2019, it ought to be shameful. And it's still wrong. The Bible says that we ought to flee fornication, but Americans today and people by and large in the earth are running to fornication. They believe that's a good thing, but that's a wrong thing. And there's Mary and Joseph, and he looks at this. Joseph looks at this and he says, I might have to put my wife away. I'm going to have to do it kind of privately because this is a shameful thing. What's an inconvenience for them? What about Joseph? I mean, there's Joseph, and what would you think if your wife was pregnant by someone else? I mean, that's not going to be his biological son. That'd be kind of an inconvenience. And there's Mary as well. She's being inconvenienced by all of this. And so it would have been a lot easier if they'd have just got a separation. Would have been more convenient for Joseph and Mary if they had just done that. But Joseph listened to God, and he listened to what God had to say, and so they went ahead and went through with everything. But what I'm saying it was an inconvenience. It was an inconvenience for Joseph and Mary. It was an inconvenience for God as well. You think about God and where he was at. God was up there in heaven. God had everything that he deserved, quite frankly. God had the worship that he desired and he deserved. And he's going to leave all of that, and he's going to come down here to earth to become a man, live with sinful men, all of this. Well, I would say that would be kind of an inconvenience. Nobody wants to take a step down. And there he is in heaven being worshipped by all of the heavenly host, and he comes down here, and he takes upon himself the form of a servant, and he comes down here, and his own nation didn't receive him. That's quite a step down. From being the God of the universe now to coming to live in Israel and being rejected by the Jews. The Bible says he came into his own, but his own did not receive him. And by the time he gets to the end of his life, people are saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. It's quite an inconvenience for the Lord. And then Jesus Christ, as he goes all throughout his earthly ministry, he's willing to be inconvenienced before people. Bible says that he did not have a place to lay his head, and yet he showed compassion to all of the people that he came in contact with. He was willing to be inconvenienced, and not only that, he was willing to inconvenience others in order to show compassion to people. So showing compassion is not the most convenient thing, is it? Whenever you want to show compassion, it's going to be an inconvenience, I can guarantee you. You think about Jesus Christ and the compassion that he showed to people whenever he fed the 5,000. The Bible says that he looked out upon the multitudes and he had compassion upon them because they were like a sheep that did not have a shepherd. And so he made them sit down by companies and he was going to feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, there's a young boy who was going to be inconvenienced by not having his lunch anymore. He was willing to give that up. But then he looks out there and he gives them the food, and then he has his disciples go and pass out the food to the people. Well, that's kind of an inconvenience for the disciples. I mean, they had to go out and work and do something in order to have compassion on those people. And then not only that, after they got done with all of that, well, they had to go back and they had to pick up all of the leftovers. What I'm trying to say is compassion is a little bit inconvenient sometimes. Are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to show compassion to other people? True compassion does not mind being inconvenienced. God is a God of compassion. And whenever he decides to show compassion to others, you know what he's going to do? He's going to use other people to show compassion on others. Are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to show compassion to other people for the sake of others? Or do you resist being inconvenienced? Boy, we live in a society that likes to be convenienced, don't we? We've got everything at our fingertips, all that we want, and boy, we don't want to have to get out of our comfort zone and, you know, be inconvenienced. There's two types of people on this earth. There's givers and takers. Which one are you? Are you a giver? Or are you a taker? And is God working in your life in such a way that he is preparing you for a display of compassion on someone else. Because God is always doing something in our lives, and He is preparing us for something else. And the things that you might be experiencing in your life right now might be God working in your life to be able to show compassion to other people. Because a lot of people don't want to be inconvenienced. They are so selfish and so self-centered that they will not inconvenience themselves to be able to show compassion to another person. They will not crack a smile to someone else because it's an inconvenient to them. It's inconvenient to them. They think, I don't like that person anyway, and I'm not going to show compassion to them, and they won't even smile at another person. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't have the wherewithal to say a kind word of encouragement to someone else because they don't want to be inconvenienced. That's too inconvenient for me. I don't want to say a kind word of encouragement to someone else. They don't want to give forgiveness to someone else because that is an inconvenience to them. Did you know that forgiveness is an act of compassion? No, I'm not going to give that person forgiveness. It's a lot easier and a lot more convenient for me to just go ahead and hold a grudge over that person. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Some people won't even pray for someone else, for the well-being of someone else, or for the salvation of someone else because they don't want to be inconvenienced. Hey, I have too much to do with my time. I'm not going to pray for someone else. That's too much of an inconvenience. Are you willing to be inconvenienced this morning? If you're going to show compassion to someone else, it's going to take you being inconvenienced just a little bit. Are you a giver or are you a taker? The incarnation was an inconvenience of compassion. God was willing to be inconvenienced. Number two, compassion can also be controversial. Controversial at times. The birth of Jesus Christ was controversial. There's Joseph and Mary going to have a child. They haven't been married yet. Boy, you know, that's going to raise some eyebrows, isn't it? Controversial means giving rise or likely to give rise to public disagreement. So a virgin being pregnant out of wedlock is highly controversial in Israel. I'm sure it raised some eyebrows. That's not something that you want to broadcast all over the countryside. I don't think that Joseph probably didn't get on Facebook and start posting it all over Facebook. He didn't tweet about it. Didn't make an Instagram post or anything like that. No, he wanted to, let's kind of cover this up, make it a little bit more private. I don't want everyone to know about this because this is kind of controversial. And when God showed compassion on people, it was a controversial thing. And the incarnation, by the way, is still controversial today. It's beyond human reasoning. It's controversial scientifically. Science doesn't want to accept the fact that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. They can't even accept the fact that God made everything out of nothing. The virgin birth goes beyond human reasoning and beyond human thought. And skeptics chalk it up to mythology and legend or magic or instead of science and reason. They don't want to accept that. It's an offense to the modern man. It's an assault on his intellect. They can't believe that at all. But you and I, as children of God, we have no problem. If you believe the Word of God, you have no problem accepting the fact that God could make a virgin with child. Why? Well, if I can believe that the God of the universe could speak the universe into existence with no pre-existing matter whatsoever, I have no problem believing that God could implant His seed into the womb of the Virgin Mary. I have no problem believing that. But science would say, well, that's just a bunch of legend and a bunch of mythology. It's controversial. They won't accept it. It's controversial historically. By the time that Jesus Christ was a young man, they were already accusing Him of being born out of wedlock and being born of fornication. They didn't believe that He was a virgin born. At the time that Jesus walked this earth, now what do you think about right now? It's still controversial. In the second century, the Greek writer Celsus wrote a book about how Jesus Christ was the illegitimate child of a woman named Mary and a Roman soldier named Panthera. That's that kind of stuff was being purported all over the place. Why? People don't want to believe that. It's still controversial today, even in Christianity today. People don't want to believe that. Back in 2014, there was a survey taken of professing Christians who were asked if they believed in the virgin birth. And I believe it was, 73% of professing Christians in 2014 believed in the virgin birth. These are Christians. 2016, 66% of Christians believe in the virgin birth. Now, this is over all kinds of strains of Christianity and different genders and all of that. What I'm saying is the virgin birth is still controversial. As a matter of fact, we have a mega pastor here in the United States. I believe his name is Andy Stanley. He's teaching his congregation that you don't exactly have to believe the virgin birth in order to be a Christian. You can believe the resurrection, but you don't have to believe the virgin birth in order to be saved. Well, I got a news flash for you. There's not going to be a resurrection unless there's a virgin birth. You can't have one without the other. You know, either Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God, and if he wasn't, then he's not going to be resurrected. Amen. So, you know, you can't bypass that. Amen. He has to be born of a virgin. He was a righteous man. The resurrection vindicates who he was. You can't bypass the virgin birth. So it's controversial. Well, divine radical compassion sometimes is going to cause a controversy. If you're going to have compassion on someone, it's going to be controversial because it is unorthodox. It's unorthodox to have compassion on people who don't deserve it. We see Jesus Christ, and he showed compassion to people who didn't deserve it all throughout his earthly ministry, and it was controversial. There he is giving compassion to a woman taken in adultery, and everybody's standing there with their mouth hanging open saying, I can't believe he's doing that. But then this compassion that he showed to this woman drove her to righteousness. He told her, go and sin no more. The compassion of God leads us to righteousness. If it was not for the compassion of God, we would not even have a chance to get right. So Jesus Christ had compassion, and that is a controversial thing. Whenever you and I exercise compassion, the compassion of our Savior in the lives of others, it might raise some eyebrows. It might be kind of controversial because people are going to be looking at you saying, man, I can't believe that you're actually going to forgive that person. Aren't you going to get back at them? Aren't you going to take revenge on them? They don't deserve that. They don't deserve that kind of kindness. Man, leave them alone. But we are called to be people of compassion, just like our Savior. Paul the Apostle said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. The people of God are not called to resort to violence or name-calling or anything like that. We are called to be people of compassion, as our Savior was. So we have been forgiven, have we not? Aren't we supposed to forgive others? Even as Christ has forgiven us, we are supposed to forgive others. And people look at us and they say, man, that's radical. That's different. That's controversial. What's the matter with you? We ought to exude that kind of compassion. Controversial? Yeah. Yeah, we're called to comfort one another and comfort others because we have the comforter that dwells on the inside of us and helps us and comforts us. And so therefore we can comfort others. That's what it's there for. We're not here put on this earth to be self-serving and self-centered. No, we're supposed to give it out to others. As we have been shown mercy, as we have been shown compassion, we are called to give it out to others. Controversial? Yeah. Yeah, divine compassion, it's controversial, no doubt. No doubt. It's a lot easier to condemn, but God calls for compassion. Compassion. And this compassion was not only controversial, but it was also costly. It cost a great deal. Do you understand that the atonement of Jesus Christ was costly on your behalf? Man, that wasn't cheap grace. It wasn't cheap at all. Man, it wasn't free. Might be free to you, but it wasn't free to God. It wasn't easy. It wasn't something that was easy for God. He came to save us from our sins. Hey, God wasn't the one who had the sin. We were the ones who had the sin. God wasn't the one who failed. We were the ones who failed. And God is the one who's showing mercy. We don't deserve it. It was costly for Him. God's not the one who transgressed. We are the ones who transgressed. But God has showed compassion on people who hate Him and who run from Him and who rebel Him against Him and who disrespect Him. God had compassion on those kinds of people, and you and I are no exception. It was not cheap compassion. It involved God giving something. It involved God giving His Son. And the text before us says that it was Emmanuel, God with us. He gave of Himself. Do you realize and understand what God gave whenever He came down and He showed compassion to us? How did He display it, man? God showed His humility. Humility. I mean, there you have God up there in heaven, and He's, like I said before, He is surrounded by heavenly host of angels, innumerable in number. Can't count them. You know what they're doing? They're sitting around the throne and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's where God was. And He left that place of worship to come down to earth. Now, the Bible says that man is made a little lower than the angels. We don't reach up to the angels. But God became lower than what was worshiping Him in heaven. And He came down here to become a person, to become a man. That's what He gave up. And there He is. And He was rejected. He didn't come down here to receive worship. Yeah, there were some people that received Him, but some people did not receive Him. He didn't get that worship. And He came down here to experience what man experienced. He came and experienced what it's like to contemplate death. He came down here to experience what it was like to be sad and hungry and limited in many aspects. He became a man. But He didn't just become any man. He chose what kind of man that He was going to become. He chose what class of man He was going to become. He became a servant. He became a servant of servants. All throughout His life, He did nothing but serve other people. He didn't come to become a king or a ruler. He became the lowest of men. He became a servant. And everywhere that He went, He served others. We see Him washing the disciples' feet, showing compassion to them as well, but also that He is a servant. And that's what He did. And then He died in the most horrific and awful way possible. He died without any dignity or respect. He died as others mocked Him as a king, when He was a king. He died as others mocked Him as a Savior, and He was a Savior. He died as others lied about His guilt when He was an innocent man. And He died as His heavenly Father turned His face away from Him and abandoned His only Son. And then He died as He was rejected by His own family and His own nation. That's what God the Father had to give up. He gave up His only begotten Son. He became poor so that we might become rich. The compassion of God was costly. Did you know that if you and I are going to show compassion to other people, it's going to cost us something? It's not going to be cheap. Divine, godly compassion. What are you going to have to give up? You're going to have to give up your pride. If you're going to show compassion to someone else, and I'm going to show compassion to someone else, you're going to have to give up your pride. You can't hold on to that pride and be unforgiving to someone else. You can't hold on to that pride and not give forgiveness to others. You're going to have to give it up. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your time. You can't show compassion to others on the fly. Hey, I'll catch you on the way out, or, you know, I'll catch you on the fly. I'll show you that kind of compassion. No, that's not that kind of compassion. No, you're going to have to give up some time. True godly compassion, it's not a Facebook like. It's not a Facebook post. It's not a text message. It's not any of those things. Hey, I understand those things have their place. but that's not true godly compassion. Hey, what it takes is it takes us spending some time with other people and showing compassion to them. That embodies true godly compassion, because compassion is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. So the incarnation of Jesus Christ was an act of, and a display of compassion. The compassion shown to us is because of someone else. It's on the behalf of someone else. Not because we deserved it, but because of Jesus Christ. We benefited because of His loss. I'll end with this story. There's a man in a supermarket and he was checking out. He had got all his groceries together and he was getting checked out, and he running through the scanner and everything like that, and he got down to the end of his checkout and he was short $12. Didn't have the $12. Man behind him said, "Hey, I'll pay for that. Here's $20. Take this." And the man says, "Oh, no, please don't do that. It's okay. That's all right. I'd rather you didn't." He said, "No, let me tell you a story." He said, and this is a true story. This man says, "I was at the hospital this morning. My mother is dying of cancer, and I buy her flowers every day. And this morning I brought her some flowers, and she got upset with me. She said, 'Quit spending that kind of money on me. Quit spending money on flowers. You know, use that money for yourself or do something with it.' And so I got to this grocery store and I saw you there." He says, "I want you to have this. These are my mother's flowers." He gave him that $20. You know, that man right there, boy, he was going through a loss, wasn't he? He was losing his mother. But he decided to show compassion to that man that needed something. And that man needed something, and he got something because of the loss of that man. Did you know that you and I, we benefit from the loss of God the Father and God the Son? We benefit from that. We get compassion because of the loss of someone else. God the Father sent His only begotten Son, and we benefit from that. And Jesus Christ gave His life, and He gave it for us, so that you and I can benefit from that compassion. Now, you and I ought to do the same thing. You and I ought to give that compassion out to other people who need it. I'd like to ask you again this morning, are you a giver or are you a taker? Let us try and show, embody that compassion that has been shown to us, to everyone that we know, all of us, because God has been so good and so gracious to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,